I'd like to welcome everyone to this month's Edgewater Board meeting. Before I open the meeting, I'd like to remind everybody this is a Board of Managers meeting and constant interruptions are counterproductive. Public questions and comments are limited to the beginning and ending open forums for guests. In addition, I would remind everybody present that this is a public meeting and that appropriate business procedure and conduct is expected throughout the proceedings. Impertinent comments or behavior will not be tolerated and may result in termination of the meeting. Thank you. This time I'd like to call the September monthly Edgewater Board meeting to order. Would the secretary please take the attendance?
Yes, we have a quorum, and the only absent member is Tony.
Thank you. Guests open forum. Does anybody wish to address the board? There should have been a sign-in sheet and opportunity to sign in as what you'd like to discuss.
Yep, go ahead.
Yep. This is John Rathmel. Hello, Jeff. Hello, Debbie.
Hi, John.
Can you hear me? I've been on lots of conference calls, and sometimes it's terrible when you're trying to struggle to hear. So if my voice drops, please let me know. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, good. I wanted to cover two things. One was a vegetable garden update. I wanted to let you know that we had 8 garden plots this year. 12 residents got produce from our garden. This could have gone from a few early tomatoes, because people were looking for them, all the way to bags of kale and bags of peppers. We're still getting lots and lots of kale. And if anybody likes super duper hot peppers, we still have a bunch there. The farmer that Rick got to do the road tilling did a great job, and we'd recommend that person be secured next year because he really did a great job. And then Rick, Mark, and Denny and Alex were super at keeping the water tank filled. I'd say that also between Eric and I and Denny one time when there's bzzz, we were able to kind of keep the weeds down between the gardens much better than we have in the past. It wasn't like you were going through a jungle. So just wanted to say thank you for Edgewater having a community garden, because that's a really fun thing. The second is a letter that I would love it if everybody will be able to, on the board, gets a copy of, but I'd like to read it if I could. I call it community building, but it starts off in maybe addressing, well, I'll tell you what it reads. Dear Jeff and board members, the purpose of this letter is to share our reactions and thoughts concerning the letter sent to Ann Fago dated September 1st, 2017. We had a chance to read the letter immediately after she received it, and she brought it to us in a very distraught condition. We were stunned when we read it, were confused with the content, and disturbed by the tone. Our experiences with Anne is that she is a caring person for others. We saw how she was such a friend and support to Jean Stabell during her last days. We remember how she helped Tommy after Ruthie died, and he was at quite a loss on how to move forward. She demonstrated this care by facilitating the warning painting of the two almost unique sidewalk steps to Edgewater to help prevent further folks from falling and injuries. We have seen her transform a number of gardens and landscape areas from being ugly and overgrown to being beautiful. In fact, we feel that the values of all of our properties have been positively impacted by her hard work and actions. We frequently comment and thank her for what she has done. We also have found Anne to be a kind and generous person who works to build community amongst her neighbors. We have always been treated well, and we think that we have treated her well. Now, we understand that the board is made up of volunteers, and we are very grateful for your work and service to the Edgewater community. We wonder whether this letter was written in haste, and perhaps upon further reflection, a different tone could be used and tangible specifics could be included so that a resolution or understanding could be reached. And then finally, a personal comment. We came to Western New York State because we wanted to participate in the 9-week Chautauqua Institution programs. This is why we bought at Edgewater, so we could commute in every day. Soon, however, a funny thing happened, and we found that Edgewater was becoming a second home. and we wanted to be here for the Edgewater community experiences for a longer period of time. The people, the facilities, the gardens, the vegetable garden, the social and rec committee activities, and that view. We also appreciated how people work together on the gardens and other activities. We have made good friends here and experienced a welcoming attitude by all. I believe that most or all of the residents value the Edgewater community. We all share many common goals. Going forward, we would like to encourage the board and all residents to work together in collaboration for these common goals and to be sure that we listen to one another and treat each other with dignity, respect, and civility. So that's my letter. I have a copy, but I think, Al, you have a copy also.
I do.
Of my letter that you, but I would appreciate it if, I know it's hard sometimes to kind of like get something when it's just verbal. And so I'm hoping that all the board members, and Tony particularly, would get it, and yeah. I can give you.
Give me a copy, I'll make copies for them.
Thank you. Thank you very much for letting me speak.
Thanks, John. Rick can copy that and make sure we all get it to look at. Are there any other?
Yes, Claudie, 308. Am I standing in the right place to be seen? Or? Okay.
You're sounding good.
All right. I also have a letter that I would like to read and enter into the record. Dear President Hoy and members of the board, I write regarding the troubling letter sent to Ms. Ann Fago, dated September 1st, 2017. This letter makes a number of vague, unproven allegations without any specification, thereby rendering it impossible for the recipient to respond or refute. The words of philosopher Christopher Hitchens are relevant. That which can be asserted without evidence can be dismissed without evidence. No one denies or even disputes the fiduciary responsibility of the Board of Managers, as you cite in your letter, to ensure the safety and well-being of members and staff and the protection of association property. I submit, however, that the board has a parallel moral responsibility, at least equal in gravity, to be leaders of our community, not just sitting in judgment, but rather affirming and encouraging the positive contributions made by individual members. In this regard, Ms. Fago deserves a letter of commendation, not condemnation. A letter such as the one referenced above tends to inflame a situation rather than ameliorate it, as evidenced by the use of words and phrases such as behavior, attack, causing damage, and dealt with through appropriate law enforcement agencies. It is conceivable that such terminology might be indicated for a third or fourth contact, but really for the first communication in her 6 years as a homeowner. Perhaps a few members of the board are not aware that Ms. Fago has been diagnosed with frontotemporal dementia, a condition that presently is neither curable nor reversible, but degenerative. Previously, she had been classified by the United States government as disabled. Throughout this time, she has struggled heroically to maintain a normal lifestyle, finding a certain therapeutic value in projects such as gardening and landscaping. Title 42, Chapter 126, Section 12102 of the Americans with Disabilities Act addresses this issue. 1. The term disability means, with respect to an individual, a physical or mental impairment that substantially limits one or more major life activities of such individual. 2. Major life activities include, but are not limited to, and then there are 18 examples that are given, including concentrating, thinking, communicating. The ADA mandates that every reasonable effort be made to accommodate those with disabilities. In view of the information and observations in this letter, as well as considering the approbation afforded by her neighbors who know her best and appreciate her community-enhancing efforts, we request that the cited letter be rescinded and removed from any file where it may reside. If the board feels compelled to pursue this matter, we request a more accurate, honest enumeration of specific allegations so that they may methodically be addressed. We also formally request a written response to this present letter. In 1988, President George H.W. Bush called for a gentler, kinder nation. Now, 29 years later, should we not more earnestly strive to achieve a gentler, kinder Edgewater? Thank you, and I submit for the record that letter and all the letters of approbation from her neighbors. Thank you.
Thank you, Monsignor. Get your Rich Hazel. Do we have any other guest speakers? If not, we'll move on with the meeting.
Yes. Could we have a list of the guests who are there?
Yep. Trudy Bear, John Rathmel, Kathy Rathmel. We've got Connie Connell, Father Al, and Jeff's wife, Beach.
Thank you.
Laura.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It looks so watery.
Okay, minutes of the previous meeting were distributed earlier. Has everybody had the opportunity to read them?
Yes.
Okay, are there any corrections or additions to the minutes? Hearing none, do I hear a motion to accept the minutes as presented?
I move.
Second.
We have a motion. Second.
I second it.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion passes.
Debbie.
Chair's report.
Yeah, just a second. Debbie, you sent the BNLB report. Did you know that? Not your treasurer's report? I sent you an email or a text this morning.
I didn't get the text, but no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you did.
Oh,
can you email it now and I'll print it up?
Hold on a minute.
We could pick up the treasurer's
report. Yeah, we could go back to that, Jeff, if you want to.
Okay. All right, we'll go back to the treasurer's report. We'll move on to the administrator's report. Rick?
The deck engineering project, Ralph Wilson, Peter Reka, and Andrew Johnson are redesigning the J building deck. We're going to end up having to tear that deck down. That's going to be the most economical way. They have proposed to submit drawings for that for a cost of $2,000, which is less than what the K building deck was. So that's where we are with that right now.
More of a curiosity.
Do they have a timeline on that?
I should have it by the end of this month.
So I take it more out of curiosity that inner deck doesn't go under the units.
No, and I spoke to Mike Stratton, who dismantled this one, and he said if it goes in 3/4 of an inch, he'd be surprised.
Okay. Great.
So,
great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
On the water valve replacement project, what we have to do before we let this thing out for bids is, because we can't really give an accurate proposal, we need to dig up one of the valves to find out the size and type and material that it's made of. And that's going to cost, it'll cost less than $500, but we don't have to bid that out if it stays under $500. So I'm going to have that done probably first part of October. I want to try to give everybody an opportunity that are going south to get on the road, because we'll have to shut the water. Well, we won't have to shut it down in this instance, but we'll have to, when we do the project, shut the entire
thing. What kind of piping's under there?
We don't know. That's why we need to dig it up.
What size is it, do you know?
We don't know. That's why we got to dig it up.
Okay.
We have no idea what type of shutoff valves are in there. We're assuming it's copper only because if it was cast iron, it would be a quarter of an inch in diameter.
Well, that's why I asked, because I had that where I used to live.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, not that it's very expensive replacing all the pipes in this unit.
But yeah, we won't know.
You could start on a selective basis. And
exactly.
Typically, I think they go 6 inch now. Not two.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, okay, well, those will be interesting things to...
We'll find out soon.
To learn.
Yeah. Pool closing, I do not, just to give everybody a little relief, I don't intend on closing the pool until the weather goes south on us, because right now, you know, we're at the warmest time of the year.
I know.
Bee issues, we have been absolutely inundated with bee issues, particularly in the L building, which bees have actually gotten inside two of the units.
Wow.
And we've had the pest control people here on a couple of two or three different occasions. They've done the best they can. They cannot do anything inside the buildings other than swat them because of the pesticides. You know, it's a health issue as much as anything. The vineyard project, a check has been sent off to Huddy's insurance company, and I've been in contact with Eric Huddy myself, and he's going to sign the waiver and return it to us. Andy Putnam, who is the new lessee, is been working in the vineyards. He dropped off four loads of gravel, and he was working over there yesterday. I looked at the vineyards, look excellent. They look better than they ever have already. And I believe they're going to start picking at the end of next week. So that's that. Fence damage, we had a storm that took two trees down and damaged the fence, the lakeshore fence line, and that will be repaired as soon as the top rails come in. They were a special order, special length. So, and I expect them to be here sometime next week. So we'll get that done as soon as possible. The sign lighting project, Jeff Hoy forwarded to me a company that had some lights that would be ideal for the fence out front, and we want to start putting them up next week. I'll show everybody, except for Jeff and Debbie.
You said fence, you mean sign?
These lights will be mounted on posts close to the ground and illuminate the signs from below. They're LEDs, and they should do a great job. So, feel it.
Something very light in it. Whoa.
Rick, what is the approximate cost of those?
Pardon me?
What is the approximate cost of?
$300 for both those lights and probably another $100 worth of materials.
So it'll be two of them?
For the two of them,
okay,
correct.
Great.
Yeah, total cost would be less than $500 altogether.
Great.
And that's all I have.
Okay, Debbie. Treasurer's report is in your email,
Rick. Yeah, but hold on here. Now Rick left. We have a bench that's over on the property adjacent to us that somebody took over there to put on the point where that old fireplace is on the old Brown property. I went over to look at it to see if we could bring it back, and it's chained to a tree. I don't know if it's indeed changed hands, but that's our benches, and the Browns,
it's not our property.
Family didn't come out here much, but it is our bench.
So it's our bench and somebody
else's.
And
we should recover it. I'll throw that out, think about it, and we'll
Where's that exactly?
It's on that point where that old fireplace is beyond the P building.
Out in the wooded area there?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Quite frankly, I walked over there 2 weeks ago with saying, oh, screw it, I'm going to pick it up, bring it back, and put it outside Rick's office. Well, when I saw the lock and chain, I'm like, and you know, we should recover it.
So that's not our property, right?
That's not our property. Right. It never has been.
No, so it's our bench and somebody else's.
Oh, it's a great place to put a bench. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but it's not our property.
But we had a use for that bench this year, and I couldn't bring it back.
Okay.
Rick, I don't know how you feel about that. You can think about it.
I didn't hear you.
That's all right. You can get it out of the minutes.
Thank you.
I know that property has changed hands, and they've done a lot of work out in that area. I don't know what or who the new owners are, but I think they're planning on using it more,
yeah.
Not to develop it, but to basically utilize the.
Yeah, I don't think it's them putting the chain on it. It looks old, so I think it's somebody here with the idea they didn't want kids to go over and throw it over into the lake, that type of thing.
Wow.
So it's not something they chained, in my opinion.
Question about the vineyard. You know, the last time I was by, it looked like it was producing nicely, some product there. And I know we've budgeted actually zero income for that for this year. But did Andy indicate any kind of what the production of the field or the vineyard might be at all this year?
No, he has not yet.
Financially, but you know, at least is it producing in a fashion that ultimately it will start producing an income for us?
Right now, and I could be wrong, but it looks as though the crop is just as good as it's ever been already.
Good.
So, and Andy is going to, he's going to call me when he starts picking, and I thought it might be kind of fun to take the drone over and I'll take some pictures and get them in the newsletter.
Yeah, that would be nice.
You know, related, not that I want to go there, just more for your information ever going forward, were we completely settled out on any monies we were owed from the previous render, or did he?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
All right.
It was an instance of I would have to call him annually and remind him he owed us money.
So we got it. All right. So,
but yeah, we
got it. The way things are, that I just...
Yeah. We have the treasurer's report in front of us now.
Yeah, we'll, I'll bring mine up here real quick. And we shall go to Debbie with the treasurer's report.
Okay, I'm not going to go line by line. I'm just going to kind of summarize it. Our reserve checking account, which is the account that we use for capital projects, has a balance of $34,898 at the end of August. And to my knowledge, we have no capital projects other than the J building deck, which at this point, we don't know if it will be completed in 2017. Our Lakeshore checking account is $58,593, and we have undeposited funds of $3,731. At the end of August, we had total cash of $97,222. Our accounts receivable at August 31st was $1,805, our current accounts receivable. Our delinquent accounts receivable over 31 days was $1,799. Our accounts payable at August 31st, our total assets at the end of August were $114,395. Our liabilities and equity were made up of accounts payable, $4,689. Other liabilities, $953. Unearned revenue, which are monthly maintenance fees that are paid in advance, of $20,126, totaling $25,768. Our equity is made up of our unreserved fund balance, $219,583. Retained earnings, a negative $128,563. And net loss to date, $2,394. Our total liabilities and equity is $114,395. On the income side of our financials, our income for the 8 months ended is $200,654, compared to a budgeted income of $250,166. Our expense is $188,276, compared to a budget expense of $223,635. Our operating income was $62,378, compared to a budgeted operating income of $26,531. Our capital projects to date actual was $64,772, compared to a budgeted of $134,000. Our net loss for the 8 months ended August 31st, 2017 is $2,394, compared to a budgeted net loss of $107,469. There are two things I'd like to point out that I would like to compliment Rick and his management skills on, and that is our payroll. Our actual payroll was $61,096, compared to our budgeted of $73,745. And our maintenance actual was $19,163, compared to our budget of $31,435. He's done an excellent job in keeping those expenses under budget for us. With that, I move that we adopt the August 2017 treasury report.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it, Jeff.
Okay, motion and a second. Any discussion? I guess what I'd like to just point out is that in addition to Rick taking care of business with the payroll and maintenance, we did cancel a number of items in the capital budget, which is the difference that you see from the actual spent of $64,772 versus what we had budgeted as $134,000. So we cut a lot out of the capital budget because of where we saw we were at with finances, and we addressed that at the annual meeting. But that was another item that we we looked at very closely and decided that we needed to do that. And with that, that's all our comments I have on the budget. Any other discussion or comments? If not, all those approving, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Thanks, Debbie. Committee reports. Do we have any committee reports at this point? I don't see any listed, but it's the tail end of the year. I know we do have a couple of the rules and regs, the bylaws are sort of ongoing committees that we go through. Okay, old business. 2018 budget. I've sent some information out previously just to get people people to start thinking about it. We probably ought to get into it next month so that we can approve our 2018 budget. We did look at and present some information, but with the at the annual meeting, but with the problem on JDEC, we had to reevaluate some of the construction that we were planning, or capital we were planning, and that would be probably the major changes that we would have to look at. So I just want to make sure everybody's on board with, if everybody has the information necessary to start thinking about, so we can have a meeting to go through line by line of budgeting the actual 2018 budget for next year. Any comments on that? Okay, if not, business correspondence. Okay, see, we have nothing under that right now. Definitely this is telling us we're getting close to the end of the year. It has been I will like to say that it has been a very trying summer, especially with interactions that we've had. And I just want to say that I hope that we can move on and continue to try to work together as a community. But it has been an extremely trying year for a number of us on the board, and I'm hoping that this is peaked out and it's going in the other more positive direction now. Any other comments by the board members at all?
I have a comment.
Go ahead, Deb.
Are we in a position to make a resolution to vote on the pet policy?
Ah, good point.
I thought we were.
Well, yeah, what I wanted to do with that is I think we can put it out for, I wanted to get it out for public review. And we can pass the, we could actually make it a resolution and pass it as a resolution if we'd like, with an implementation date of like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever it is from today, just to give time for public review is all. Any comments on that part?
Well, I would support that.
I guess I was trying to get these types of things into a mode similar to what local governments do, wherever they, whenever they have a rule change or law change or resolution or whatever, they put it out there for a time frame before it becomes implemented.
Jeff, this is Ruth. What would you think about possibly if we got it out with the newsletter and thought about maybe a November 1st implementation date?
I'm up for anything right now.
Well, that would be my suggestion.
Debbie, what do you think? I mean,
I'm sorry, what was that?
I suggested that we put the policy information in the newsletter and look for an implementation date of November 1st.
I think the implementation should be sooner.
Okay.
Yeah, but if we adopt it in October's meeting, that leaves about 3 days or 4 days.
Well, we could resolve it today and then put it out. And within November 1st. I understand what you're saying, because the October meeting is like October 28th.
I think there's still some discussion, particularly I know on Jeff's end, that hasn't been resolved as well.
I even now, and really, I was really reluctant last meeting because anything that happens in August, emotionally, we tend to have a knee-jerk reaction as a group, and I was fearful of that. I think the best thing is to set it out, propose, big print, put it in a newsletter, and if there's 50 people here, so be it. That's what we get paid the big bucks for, and pass it in October and make it December 1st. There are reasons to be in a hurry,
yeah, I think,
but
that's good.
I think if we go too much in a hurry, people would say you did it specifically to jab somebody, and that's, I don't think we need to go there. I think we got to be as outright, just like you said, Jeff, get it out there and let the people react to it. If there's no reaction, then we know we're probably pretty well in the ballpark. I just hope that we don't make a major mistake on it, and then by getting it out there is the best to do.
Well, is there any discussion right now that we can go through? I mean, it's
I can't express my reasoning for getting it out sooner. I think you probably know the reasoning.
Yeah.
But I can't say it in this open forum.
Yeah.
I mean, it has nothing to do with not... I totally agree that we should get it out to the community and we should get their input. It has nothing to do with that. I hope the audience understands.
Yes. I mean, we have a situation that is needs to be addressed. And I think...
Well, it's safe enough to say it's a renter at this point. So,
well, that's it's not even a renter.
It's an issue with rental. So,
yeah.
Really, my only issue was that I sent you an email last night. Was
we saw that
limiting the weight of the dogs. I was here under the old 15-pound rule, and the second Benji got fat, somebody was up in arms about getting him weighed. Okay, and here we are unlimited in this two dogs if you want now. So it's gone a long ways. A large dog in a unit year-round is a careful consideration on the part of anyone. But you need to have a great dog and you got to be a good owner. And that's the way I look at it. However, for the people that weren't here last month, my comment was the way we so liberalized the rules that if everybody chose to have two dogs, we'd have 208 dogs here. And the barking issues are just crazy, because one dog barks, another responds. And it might not be near your unit this year, but it could be next. And so we've got one end of the complex that some of the people are miserable. And that's one of the major motivations. I have no inclination to personally to allow renters to bring a dog in. I have zero feelings that that's a good idea. If nothing else, my favorite compression, I went through a unit that was repossessed once and the dog peed on the floor and ruined the underflooring. Now, Edgewater replaces that underflooring. So I mean, there's a cost to having a dog in there, and it's one thing if you're an owner because you're gonna pay for that underflooring through your maintenance fees. But when a renter comes in, and the only other solution that nobody ever has bid into this was when I rented in Lockport, moved there, I had to pay $25 a month to have a pet, and that money went to Edgewater for any possible damages, repairs, just a fee to allow that. But to date, I haven't got any terribly inclinations of owners saying we need to allow the renters to have bring pets in. But anyway, to get back to it, I wouldn't vote for the changes if it has the 40-pound max on the dogs or whatever it was. I'd rather it be the unit owners. And quite frankly, if not that I want to do this, but if we're going to maximize the weight, or minimize it, then let's take the time to review what type of dog should be down here, and I don't want to do that.
No, that's virtually impossible because you get mixed breeds.
Well, yeah, but no pit bulls.
Is there a way of stating the weight that owners should carefully consider the size of the dog versus the unit? And we could put wording like that into the,
Sure.
Similar to that, that we didn't say a specific weight, but that we are concerned about the size of the animals, and it's pets too. I mean, it's cats as well as dogs. Now, I know some cats don't get that large, but it's still a way of saying that. Should the owner take careful consideration of the size of the pet for the surroundings or the environment that they'll be living in and that sort of thing? Is there some way we can state it that way and not specifically say a weight?
Well, if you want to, right after the meeting, I'll take a stab at it and forward it to everybody.
That sounds good.
And we can see if that's the only issue we're having with the whole policy. I say we resolve it so we can get going on this.
Yeah, I'd say that
for the people.
If that's the case, I mean, Jeff, would that sound considered?
That would be great. That'd be great.
Okay. I'll do that right after the meeting.
Let's take a shot at that, and let's try to expedite this as much as we can. As soon as we come to an agreement on this, let's get it out to the community for a time frame so that maybe even next month we can pass this.
I'd like to publish a newsletter on the second.
We need to make sure people understand that we are looking at changing these rules.
Because this will be online and there are people here, Ruth, could you highlight the major changes here that would happen?
You mean right now?
Yeah, right now.
Yeah.
So we'll have it on the record, even though we'll send that out.
Okay, yeah, and I will just certainly
don't read any of them, read the whole thing.
Oh, no,
just the
I
major
absolutely
changes.
Won't. Okay, the major changes would be one pet instead of two. A pet is described as one dog or one cat. No other animals, no snakes, no reptiles, no birds, just a dog or a cat, one pet per unit. Owners only, no tenants. Probably I should go back because the most important thing of the whole policy is the animals that are here now are grandfathered. You know, you nobody can make you get rid of your animal. If you have two animals, when one deceases, it can't be replaced. But, no one's going to take away any animal right now, unless, of course, it's a nuisance animal or something happens. But we don't want anyone to worry that someone's going to try to invoke this policy upon their current pets because that's not fair and that's not right. Other than that, it's basically pretty much what we have now with a very big encouragement to point out to people that nuisance pets, barking dogs, a pet attack, those things are beyond us. Those things have to be reported to the town of Westfield and we'll give information because we do not have the authority or the means to give people fines and to seize their animal. I mean, that's not Edgewater's job to do that, but if people certainly can report it to the board, but we're just going to tell them to call the town because there's really, it's not something that we can handle. And if the people don't take it upon themselves to report these issues, nothing can really be done. So we really just want to encourage people to start looking towards the animal control officer so that things go through the proper channels and they can be dealt with properly. That's really nothing that isn't in place right now. It's just things that need to be, you know, highlighted and enforced a little bit. Yeah, the renters are grandfathered.
Current renters.
You know, current renters. I mean, long-term. No one that rents right now is supposed to have a pet unless they're a long-term renter, which means 6 months or more. As Rick has told us, that's very hard to control. A lot of people don't have leases. We don't really have a way of knowing if they're a long-term renter, but there isn't a lot of rental pets here right now. And as these people's lease runs out or as they leave, future renters will not be allowed to have pets. Pretty much the rest of it is, you know, common sense, cleaning up after your pet, you know, being considerate, not walking your pet on the sidewalk in front of someone's unit, staying 50 feet away from the buildings, etc. So that's pretty much, it's not some shocking new policy. A lot of it's just common sense. Probably the most giant change is going back to where it always was, which was one pet, and defining a pet as a cat or a dog, and not allowing tenants to have pets going forward.
Plus registration.
Oh, and registration, yes. Okay. That's very, we did a lot of research, and most all condominium associations ask the people to register their pets. So you know what pets are here, who they belong to, if there's a pet here that isn't registered. You know, it helps you control. And if someone says to us, how many pets are here at Edgewater? We would actually know how many pets are here at Edgewater, and right now we don't. So we're developing a registration form that's just basically pirated from other associations in the area and in New York State. Mm-hmm. A simple registration form, but we would have information on the pet, the ownership of the pet,
and
a picture of the pet, so that we know, you know, who this pet is and how many pets we have here. So that would be a change, yes.
Okay, thanks, Ruth. Then if we could then get something moving on this, we don't need to have a special meeting or anything, but if we get it out and if we all take the opportunity to review it, look at it, and get back to each other, we could probably have a quick Skype meeting or something like that to discuss any issues after you try that language change.
Okay.
We'll go from there, and hopefully we'll be able to get it out very quickly to the community and move it along at a increased speed to be able to implement it this year yet. Okay. Anything else from the board members? Not open forum for guests, the final one?
Yes.
Any other, go ahead.
Two comments.
Could you?
It's Trudy. Trudy Bay.
Who you are?
Yes.
What unit?
601. In terms of controlling barking and the behavior of pets, there's also an aspect of controlling the behavior of people. And by that I mean, for example, when someone walks a few feet in front of our condo, of course our dog is going to bark at them. They've essentially violated, you know, an unwritten norm about territory. So sometimes animals are provoked by the behavior of residents. And I think that behavior specifically of how close people intrude in front of the condo is a factor. But my second comment is, given the fact that so many residents have left or are leaving, why does this policy need to be expedited so quickly? Walking along the lakefront right now, there are many, many, many fewer people and pets. And I know that you said you wanted to try to build community, that it had been a difficult summer. And I think, as Jeff pointed out in the last meeting, dealing with pets is an emotional issue. And gaining the input of the community in advance is important. I understand you're going to put something in the newsletter and give people a few days or whatever to respond. But what is the great rush at this time of year?
I would say...
Well, the, I'd like to address that is that we would like to get it in place this year so that we can start making sure all the owners who do rentals, all the real estate agents that do rentals, and all the people that rent the various condominiums that we have, make sure they have the information far enough in advance for when people start, you know, inquiring about rentals, that they are not permitted to bring pets with them with their short-term rentals. And long-term rentals is another issue that we need to make sure people are aware of as well. That's one of the items in this particular policy that we have found to be the most intrusive is the rental situation. So by getting it done and expediting it this year, we hope to have the communication out early enough so that people coming next year have that information far enough in advance so that if that creates a problem for them, they have options to look at.
I would also add that since May, we have just been inundated with all kinds of nice and not so nice written correspondences. I mean, this has been going on all summer, and there is a large number of people that are upset that something hasn't been done this summer. I mean, there is a real contingent of people that are very upset and feel we're dragging our heels as it is. And it's been all summer long, and it's taken a lot of time and effort to try to develop a policy that was well-researched and is fair. And I do think that there is a big majority of people that would be very disappointed if this doesn't get in place, you know, by the end of this year. They feel it's gone on and on and on. So I think, you know, I understand what you're saying, but there's the other side of the fence that's going to think that we're purposely not doing something.
Another month makes that great of a difference in something you've been developing?
Yes and no. We really, without being specific, we don't want any additional renters coming down here and bringing animals. And we don't
short-term
any owners, new owners, quite frankly, any new owners bringing in two animals.
Or three.
As soon as possible. There are plenty of animals down here right now. So the sooner we implement it, the better. Yes, this is a weak time of year for sales, so it's not that big a deal. And it's a weaker time of year for renters, but the sooner the better from that. And it'd be with the grandfathering, you know, it's for the people that are currently down here. We don't see an issue. And quite frankly, we could make a mistake here, but it can be reversed with three votes come April. I mean, but we're united in that. A fairly quick implementation date. Myself, I'd rather December 1st, but that's just me, rather than November, because if we pass it on October 25th, that's kind of hard. But.
In regards to, which is a big issue, and it is addressed in here, dogs have to be walked 50 feet from a residential building, unless they're entering or exiting their unit. And, I mean, I know there's people that walk right up next to you, but again, if you don't make us aware, we won't know that it's going on. But, you know, that isn't correct. And you're right. It does incite your dog to bark and invade your privacy. And it's everyone that's obeying the rules and regulations doesn't do that, but of course there are the few that do that, and I think that is an issue. But again, if someone is continually doing that to you, you really need to let us know. And
well,
you know,
I would let them know.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you let us know, we'll just, you know, issue them a warning. Maybe they're not aware. Maybe, you know, they should be aware. Another thing that's in here is when you register your dog, you sign for the rules. So, you know, if you bother to read them, you should know you shouldn't walk your dog right in front of somebody.
You shouldn't walk yourself.
Yes. Right. Oh, right.
Completely unrelated to the animal issues. Over the years, I found that starting around July 20th, July 17th, because all 104 units are occupied, we start to get on each other's nerves. And we get a series of emails for people complain about this and that, which is great. That's what they're to do. But be it owners, be it renter, they'll sit there and say, no, I didn't do that. No, I didn't do that. Or they ignore you. And it's very frustrating the 5 weeks, the last week of July and the first 4 of August for the administrator, and the ton of emails we're all getting. Okay, now that was last year. I don't mind saying it, about pool rural, complete ignorance of it, and put a hammock out near the on the lakeside and a variety of other infractions. And the person actually came in and said, well, I didn't do this at the pool. We'll cue up the video in 30 seconds if you like. Oh, no, you don't have to do that. But they'll come in here and defy you. And we shouldn't have to live through that. Now, that's 2 summers ago, not this past summer. And this summer, all I can tell you without terribly specific is I probably got 50 emails about dogs in the month of July, August and early September here. Okay? It's not what we're here for. And it's obvious at this point there's just too many dogs without even getting specific. We shouldn't be burning valuable time on this. I'd rather be talking about waterline replacement and valves and how we can get our parking lots paved. And the whole idea, us as owners, is that we don't do anything that interferes with the mutual value and benefit and enjoyment of your unit. I shouldn't impinge on you. You shouldn't impinge on me. Do not detract from the value. That's what I call the pink flamingo rule. So 100 pink flamingos in front of my unit, you're going to have trouble selling it if you're next door. Okay? But then the personal enjoyment of the unit. And that's what most of these rules really revolve around. And if you don't have a fairly thick skin for those last 5 weeks of summer, you won't enjoy the experience down here, and people will move on. And that's just the way it is. Well, anyway, I've rambled a lot, but it gives you a flavor of what we're, each one of us, having to include poor Rick. And that's just from our side. Then you've got the people calling Rick and telling them what to do.
It's difficult. Quite honestly, Trudy, I have had no problems with owners with their pets. I know almost every one of them. John Rathmel's dog hates the gator, so I try to go far away. There's a number of things, and I think owners really are cognizant of what they should do and what they shouldn't. But it seems that the renters and the people that are the owners that are renting don't give a crap. They're not here. And I mean, that's sad to say, but it's really true. I've had more problems with renters than I have anybody. And not you, Connie.
I would simply say that when, for example, somebody walks 2 feet in front of the condo, I say to myself, you know, I don't really recognize them. Yeah. They're probably a renter. And I will say that the first time I came here, I did the same thing.
Exactly.
Because I wasn't thinking.
Yeah.
And then you begin to think about your environment.
Yeah.
And you really don't need a rule or regulation by and large, but of course those are there too. But so I don't know, you know, there's not much transparency.
No.
People say, oh, there were a bunch of thefts. Nobody knows that. You know, in my neighborhood, we get police reports every month. There's so little transparency about what's going on that I think, no. I mean, I've learned something, Jeff.
Yeah.
From your, I didn't find it so rambling, from your narrative. I mean, yeah. I think the it becomes even more confusing when things are being implemented and things being done without any context to the owners about why these policies or procedures are changing. And that has been something that I have found consistently. There's very little information communicated.
I would say, and that would be true if you're sitting here. You really, except in a unique case where you joined the board only for one reason, the change of rule, except for that scenario, you don't sit here looking to be the sheriff of Edgewater.
Edgewater doesn't need a sheriff.
We don't want to do that. We don't go looking for trouble. But by the same token, if I got a boombox in front of your unit, 30 feet out there in a lawn chair blaring away, you'd like to think there's a recourse for you, and you don't have to come out and address me. I'm the renter, okay? It just put it in a whole different context. Mm-hmm. That type of stuff happens. And
yes.
And so should everybody have to hear about it? Not really. And if it involves major changes like the rules, it is out here.
Well, I think the flow of information is extremely important. And, you know, there has to be some channel for that occurring. So I would disagree with you there. And does everybody need to know everything? Of course not. But do people need to know that really there were, if that is true, maybe 50 complaints about dogs? Ooh. Yeah.
Not 50 complaints. 50 emails. I'm very surprised.
Right.
But
okay.
There weren't 50 issues. But when you got a picture showing something, a blatant picture, dated, timestamps, showing blatant, ignoring of the rules, and they send you an email or stopping and tell Rick, no, I didn't do this. Well, here's the picture.
Yeah.
That is a lot of wasted emotional energy. And it revs the five of us up because it's just a runner. And we got better things to be doing. So it gives you a feel, because hopefully you'll be in the seat. Mm-hmm. I think everybody should serve 1-2-year period in their ownership tenure. Everybody.
I think the founding fathers said that about the colonies. What was that? And then you go back to your
farm. Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I was kind of.
Laura.
Any other?
Yeah, Laura.
One more.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. Laura Beach, 1006, Jeffrey Beach. Many of you, I know Rick specifically, and many of the renters down at this end, knew Tank. And Tank was our Great Dane, and he was a wonderful dog. As an owner, I made sure, and Rick was aware of it, we brought Tank out to the big fields out here in front. We were really diligent with our dog to take our dog where other dogs weren't going. Now, it is all about cleanup. And I will tell you, and I talked with Sylvia before. I said, Sylvia, you know, we left Tank. Did he bark at all? Did you hear anything? Our dog never barked. Our dog was always quiet in the unit. That's the one thing I'm concerned about is we have always had a larger breed dog, but I've always made sure our dogs have been well-trained and are well-mannered. And as a result, I would hate to see right now, as everybody knows, we have not replaced Hank. It's very emotional. But if the day comes, I don't want my hand confined or for me to have to tell my husband, I'm sorry, I'm not going to Edgewater because we bought a large breed dog. And that's the position you potentially put me in. If in fact you were to completely restrict or put a weight limit on. So that's the only consideration I ask for, because someday I do hope that we have another Tank in our life that is just as wonderful as and well-mannered as he is. That's all I would have to say on it.
Thank you.
Father Al.
Yes. Cody again. I'd just like to append to my earlier report the names of people who have sent letters of support unsolicited. Their letters are included in the file I gave you, Rick.
Yeah, I'll send them all off.
All right, good enough. Thank you.
And I have one. This is John Rathmel in 301. Just one other quick comment. Just thinking about what I heard
Trudy, you said, and Jeff, you said, one of the things that at my company that they did a lot of times when they were bringing out a new policy or whatever, they had something called FAQs, frequently asked questions. And I was just thinking, you're going to be getting some comments back. You may get a bunch of questions, and you might actually say, oh, well, that's interesting. For instance, like a question that's burning, and I don't need an answer now, but is once in a while when I'm walking Lucy, I see Norm and Marilyn sitting over on their back, and I walk over and I get closer than 50 feet. If that's not appropriate, I mean, I'll send that in the response. If that's not appropriate, she doesn't bark, she doesn't do anything, she just comes and, you know, sits there. If that's not according to the rules, I need to kind of like Newton. So I'll send those kind of questions.
Good point.
The ones that you think are appropriate, if you could, when you put the policy out, put out the facts, FAQs, you know, frequently asked questions. That's just a comment that would help the transparency, would help the explanation, and maybe kind of resolve some of the...
We'd never do it because it's too expensive, but I probably started about a year ago. I wondered to myself, why did they ever put the sidewalks so terribly close to the units?
Yeah, say it's sidewalks.
They should be out where the stairway stands.
They're so narrow.
And yeah, it's interesting, but again, no pets down here at the time, and you go back.
One other quick comment. I do agree that if the changes are going to be implemented, the sooner the better. And let me explain why. Jeff and I just this week were contacted by somebody wanting to rent our unit for the summer.
Good point.
For July and August. That essentially right there is 8 weeks. Luckily, Jeff and I have always had a policy because we've always had our own dog that we will never rent or allow people to have pets in. I think we made an exception one time, and it was for a couple that was coming from Maine or Florida, and they were there for over that 6 month time period. But our policy has always been, and right now we have a girl that rents from us and she's here over that 6 months, but I still make it my policy as the homeowner, there will be no pets. But I do think for people who are buying units and are considering renting their unit out, that the policy and all of this should be in place as soon as possible. Because already people are starting to contact us about wanting to rent our unit.
I think that's it, Jeff.
Okay, thank you. Our next meeting is scheduled for October 28th in the association office. I don't think we haven't had any discussion about any problems with that, so if it changes, we'll let everybody know. With that, we'd like to adjourn the meeting and move into an executive session for personnel and legal assistance issues, and there shall be no
resolution,
no approval for anything. There's no business transactions that will be conducted as necessary for personnel and legal issues. So I'd like to thank everybody for coming, and hopefully see you next month, or listen to you next month. Thank you.